Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The media tells us that angels come to us in disguise to surprise us with wonderful experiences. But these surprises really come from fallen angels or demons. Real angels don't have time to give us warm, fuzzy feelings. Their job? To carry out God's orders and minister to God's people. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In his current series, A Flurry of Wings, Dr. Lutzer is teaching us what angels do. They often come to carry out God's judgment.
Well, here I am in Crown Books, and I'm looking at all of these angel stories. I'm looking for a story where an angel struck somebody dumb. Can't find it. Wish that it happened for some, perhaps, but it's not there. Everything that happens is always good. It is always positive. You realize today, my friend, that angels were frequently used in the judgment of God. You read the Old Testament and you find that there were angels that came. You remember the story of Elijah? He said to the young servant, he said, "Open your eyes." And he opened his eyes and the entire horizon was filled with warriors. And I think it was 185,000 Assyrians slain on a single night by all these angels. Oftentimes they were messengers of judgment. Yes, for believers, they are frequently messengers of protection. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. They are sometimes ministers of communication, though that happens less frequently today because we have the Bible, we have God's Word, and we have the blessed Holy Spirit of God in our hearts who leads us. And there may be times when we have been totally unaware of it, and angels have taken care of us, and angels have prepared the way, and angels have saved us and protected us in ways that we were even not aware of. What I'd like to do today is to give you now, in closing, three very important cautions regarding angels. Very important. Number one, never, never initiate contact with an angel. Never initiate the contact. If God wants to send you an angel, fine. But don't you initiate the contact. Let him be sent by God for a specific purpose. Why do I say don't initiate the contact? My dear friend, if our eyes could be open to the spirit world, we'd discover that the whole atmosphere, right here even in the church, was filled with spirits, some good and not bad. And what we would learn is that when you begin to initiate, you do not know but that you are communicating with an angel of light, a demonic spirit who is impersonating an angel of God. Look at Swedenborg, great spiritist of a previous day. Swedenborg believed that God had given him the ability to distinguish good spirits from bad spirits, just like that woman on the plane with whom I was riding some time ago, who said that she could tell the difference because she received only those spirits, she said, that came to her in light, and she abhorred all the spirits that came to her in darkness. Swedenborg thought that he had that ability too. You know what he said near the end of his life? He said, "I realize that demons are so deceptive that I now recognize that even I have been deceived, and there is no way to tell the difference between the good ones and the bad ones." If you're the initiator, you do not know what angel is going to show up for communication, fellowship, and to do you some good deed so that you'll be deceived. You don't ever initiate the contact. Secondly, never, never think of angels as a means to get to God. You see, what is happening in today's society, the book that I looked at briefly is Ask Your Angel. And the author says, now, if you have a request and you have some need, all that you need to do is to pray to your angel, and you know that the angel will respond. You'll be heard, and you'll get your answer. Wait a moment. Where in the world did you pick up that heresy? The Bible says there is but one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And now what is happening, just like ancient Gnosticism, people are putting in one mediator after another, that somehow they might be able to get their request to God. Be gone in the name of Jesus. If you need to talk to God, you need to talk to God, and the way you do it is through Christ, not through any angel, period, ever. Thirdly, never give undue honor to angels. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. It's interesting to do a profile on what angels think of themselves. Now, there's a message I haven't thought of preaching, Daryl. That might be an interesting one. What angels think of themselves. We could do a psychological analysis, try to figure out what angels think of themselves. Of course, some of us would only have to ask our wives, and we would know what angels think. But that aside, let's look at Revelation chapter 22. This is what the text says. This is the second time that John is receiving a revelation from an angel, and he is so captivated that he falls down. But it says in chapter 22, verse 9, "And he," that is the angel, "said to me," he fell at the feet of the angel in verse 8, verse 9, "the angel said to me, 'Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God.'" I am your fellow servant. I am one of you in the sense that I am a created creature who has been asked by God to do certain assignments, but do not worship me. I'm here to help you, but I will always point to God. My dear friends, today, the responsibility of angels is laid out in the Word of God when it says that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. If you have an angel that is coming to someone who is not an heir of salvation, that in another sense has to be a story that has to be seriously doubted. Believe the story, but don't believe the naive interpretation that is being given to it. Now, yes, I do believe in angel stories. Dorrie Van Stone wrote a book entitled No Place to Cry. She's a woman who was abused. Many of you have heard her story. Her first book was entitled Dory, the Girl Nobody Loved. When Dory was in Romania and was at an airport with a very, very difficult situation, and you can read the details in her book, when it seemed as if she was not going to be able to get the visa to leave the country, and you know in those countries all of the mechanics of taking care of problems like that become very great and very formidable. A man appeared out of nowhere, had a very kind look on his face, and said that, "I am here to help you." And without her communicating with him what her need was, actually took her by car to a place where she could get the right papers, took her back to the airport, gave her some money, helped her through customs, totally negotiated the long lines by insisting that she get past them, and helping her all along the way, knowing what flight she was going to be on, though she had not communicated with him. And then suddenly, when it's all over and she wants to thank him, he's not there to thank. I can't prove it, but that's the kind of thing that an angel would probably do. Yeah, that could be an angel. Let me tell you another story. There was a man in a very primitive country who told this story in Michigan. The missionary came back and he said, "I want to tell you what happened to me when I was on the mission field." He said, "I saw two men fighting and there was a man who was very wounded and I decided to help that man. I took him into the hospital and gave him some medical attention." And he said, "The man told me this story." He said, "You know, it's very kind of you to take care of me," but he said, "we intended to kill you, me and my friends." He said, "We followed you one day when you were making a journey, and we wanted to see where you were sleeping, and we knew that you had some money and some medicine, and we wanted to kill you and get it. But while we were there, we noticed that during the night, there were 28 men who were guarding you." The man said, "Well, to be honest with you, I'm not aware of anyone guarding me. I was just sleeping out there in the open." And the man said, "No," he said, "because the other men who were with me also counted them, and we all agreed that there were 28. Okay, so the man comes to Michigan, and he's telling this story. And as I heard it, there was a man in the congregation who said, wait a moment, let's put a piece of the puzzle together here. Let's figure out what day you're talking about, what time of day." Because he said, "One Saturday morning I was going to go golfing," and he said, "the Spirit of God so laid a burden on my heart that," he said, "I knew I needed to pray for you," that he said, "I went to the church to pray and I phoned a whole group of men and we all had a prayer meeting for you." So they put it together, you know. morning over here is evening there, etc. And they discovered that the whole thing jived. And then the man said, in fact, he said, the men that I called to pray are here. Why don't they just stand up? Well, they stood up and they counted them. And you guessed, there were 28. Of course, they are ministering spirits sent to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. But let me make this very, very clear. If you are here today and you are not an heir of salvation, if you have never received Jesus Christ, you need something that no angel can ever do for you. What you need is a Savior, and no angel can be a Savior. No angel is going to be exalted as high as we are. They are never going to be heirs of God. They are never going to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ because they were never man, and they never became a part of Christ like we, and that's why Beverly Shea used to sing that when we sing redemption story, they'll just fold their wings because they do not know the joy that our salvation brings. But as a result of that, what you need is faith in Christ, not an angel, but in Christ, the one mediator between God and man, the only qualified one in whom you can believe to have your sins forgiven, that you might belong to God forever. Angels agree with God. They honor God. They act for God. But they can never save. They can never save.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I need to emphasize that when I tell a story like I did at the end of the message about the men in Michigan who had prayed and 28 angels were guarding someone in a remote part of the world, all of those stories sometimes are difficult to verify. But I believe that if we had spiritual perception, if we were able to actually track these stories down, we'd discover that there are many stories like that. And oftentimes the story is one in which angels guard people and the people are totally unaware of it. And the angel remains totally unseen by us. But we are guarded by angels nevertheless. I look forward to getting to heaven for many different reasons, but one might be that God might show us all the different ways in which the angels protected us here in life. Just the other day, I was crossing a street, and I had closed the car door and was going to run across the street very quickly. It was a remote street, so I wasn't expecting any cars. And a car whizzed by very close to me. And I thought, 1 second more, and I'd be gone. Now, of course, sometimes there are believers who do die. There are accidents, there are medical emergencies and mistakes of every conceivable kind. But even then, we need to believe that God's purposes are being accomplished. And the angels that are there to protect us will be there when we die, taking us to Abraham's bosom, as the scriptures indicate. They are ministering spirits sent by God to help us.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has concluded What Angels Do, the first message in a 3-part series on A Flurry of Wings, a study of angels. Next time, tune in to find out what angels know. Our series on A Flurry of Wings can be yours on CD as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.